Glory to God. We welcome you to podcast 45 of Setting the Standard of God's Excellence in Our Lives. My name is Pastor Helen Price. As we begin today's podcast, I pray that God's grace, mercy, and compassion will abound greatly on behalf of you and your loved ones, and that God Himself this day will meet you and yours at the point of your need, whatever that need might be, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are continuing to focus on the mercy, the compassion of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is so very vast that we could minister about it for a year and still not do it justice, because the mercy of the Lord is woven throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Thus far, we have learned that the mercy of God and compassion of God are from the same Hebrew and Greek words, so that when we see the mercy of God, we know it to also be the compassion of God. The mercy of God is also the loving kindness, willingness, and the forgiveness of God. We've learned that the mercy and compassion of God is a part of God's character, His nature, and His ways. We saw in the New Testament that when Jesus Christ was moved with compassion, He raised the dead, healed the sick, fed the multitude, and taught the people. Remember that the mercy of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts and moves with vengeance on behalf of those who have been done wrong and against those who have done the wrong. In podcast 42, which was our last regular podcast, we learned that Jewish boys from an early age build their faith and trust in the mercy, the compassion, the loving kindness, willingness, and the forgiveness of God. King David was one who also learned early about the mercy of God. He wrote in the 23rd Psalm in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." King David knew that God's mercy was activated when forgiveness is needed, and when ones fast, repent, and humble themselves, and when ones turn away from sin and to God. King David, in one particular instance, attempted to touch God and His mercy by praying to Him, fasting, and by laying on the ground for 7 days after he had sinned with Bathsheba. But it did not work, because King David had committed an egregious sin. And to whom much is given, much is also required. Now, this is something special for somebody listening today. Remember that to whom much is given, much is required. Let's look at this today in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and verse 12. In chapter 11, King David's army goes forth to war, but the king remained behind. Someone said that this was one of the first problems, because David should have gone out to war with his men. Someone else said that an idle mind is the devil's workshop. While King David was out walking on his roof, he sees Bathsheba bathing. She is the wife of Uriah, who is one of King David's mighty men of valor, that is found in 2 Samuel, the 23rd chapter, verse 8 and verse 39. King David sends for Bathsheba and is intimate with her, and she becomes pregnant. To cover up his sin with Bathsheba, David sends for Uriah to come home from the battlefield. Then David told Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah left the palace, and the king sent a gift after him. However, Uriah slept at the palace entrance with all his master's servants. He didn't go down to his own house. When David was told Uriah didn't go down to his own house, he asked Uriah, "Haven't you just returned from a journey? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said, "The ark of God and Israel and Judah are all living in tents, and my master Joab and my master's troops are camping in the open field. How could I go home and eat, drink, and lie with my wife?" He said, "I swear on your very life, I will not do that." David didn't count on the fact that not only was Uriah a mighty man of valor, but he was a mighty man of honor and integrity also. On the second day, when David could not convince Uriah to go home to his wife Bathsheba, He sent Uriah's own death note with him to the captain of his army, Joab. They were to put Uriah where the fighting was hardest and withdraw from him and let him die. Not only did Uriah die, but some of King David's other men died along with him. Bathsheba mourned for her husband, and when her mourning period was over, King David sent for her and married her. This greatly displeased God. God sent the prophet Nathan to King David to tell him this story. There were two men in a certain town. One man was rich, and the other man was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb he had bought. He raised that little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man. But instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for his guest. When King David heard this story, he was furious. As surely as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, "You are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own." This is what the Lord says. Because of what you've done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then King David confessed to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan replied, "Yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. Nevertheless, because you've shown utter contempt for the word of the Lord by doing this, your child will die." After Nathan returned to his home, the Lord sent a deadly illness to the child of King David and Uriah's wife. King David begged God to spare the child. He went without food, he fasted, and lay all night on the bare ground, the earth, for 7 days. The elders of his household pleaded with him to get up and eat with them, but he refused. Then on the 7th day, the child died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. They said he wouldn't listen to reason while the child was ill. What drastic thing will he do when we tell him the child is dead? When David saw them whispering, he realized what had happened. He asked them, "Is the child dead?" "Yes," they replied, "he is dead." Then David got up from the ground, washed himself, put on lotions, and changed his clothes. He went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. After that, he returned to the palace and was served food and ate. His advisors were amazed. "We don't understand you," they told him. "While the child was still living, you wept and refused to eat. But now that the child is dead, you stop your mourning and are eating again." David replied, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept because I thought, who knows, the Lord may have mercy on me and let the child live. But he is dead now. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? No, I'm going where he is, but he won't come back to me." Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba. He went to her and was intimate with her. She gave birth to a son and named him Solomon. The Lord loved Solomon and sent word by the prophet Nathan to name him Jedidiah because of the Lord's grace. Remember that the mercy of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts and moves with vengeance on behalf of those who have been done wrong and against those who have done the wrong. This time, King David, who had known of the tender mercy of the Lord from his youth, found himself, because of an egregious sin, on the wrong side of mercy. As we close this service, this broadcast and podcast today, may you continue to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and may his standard of excellence be set in every area of your life. Remember that the word of God says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This day, if you're not sure of your salvation, please say with me, "Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that God raised you from the dead. I repent of all my sins. I give my heart and life to you. Lord, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to baptize and fill me to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with love, power, might, ability, and strength." Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, according to Acts 20 and verse 32, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are set apart in Jesus Christ." God bless each and every one of you today.